Yes, K, they can regurgitate some of the old verses and bring them back. But yeah. They should keep a couple of the key ones, like the Beyoncé's, the Jay's, the Diddy. We should keep the Drake's, the Lil Wayne's. We should keep some for Stadium.
Because, Drake versus Diddy, I'm thinking about all the productions, all the music that came out from both of these beautiful music giants.
You need 4 hours. You need an interlude with Keisha Cole.
I don't even know who is going to win. I love Dre. But then Diddy, like, the music, the influence they had on the music industry is just unprecedented. It's just beautiful. So we'll see what happens. You guys let us know if this is happening, Diddy versus Dre, who you got? I really want to know. I'm curious. I'm curious to see what Machia has.
I'm going Diddy.
You're going Diddy?
I'm going Diddy.
You know what? I'm not gonna say anything.
Did he too fly? What, yo?
I just have an issue with his. Every time he dances, he does the little shoulder thing, and it's just weird to me.
You can't be neutral. You're a morning host. You gotta pick a side.
Okay. Okay, I'll pick Dre. I'll pick Dre.
I already knew you wanted to pick Dre.
I gotta pick Dre. On some new music news. So you guys know that social media is always coming up with a new platform every 2.5 seconds, there's a new platform coming out. You'll know why this is important once I explain this story. So Mulatto that was actually featured in the 2020's XXL freshman class list earlier this year actually is considering a name change due to controversy. So pretty much, she released her major label debut, Queen of the South, back in August, and she's considering that name change because of criticism that she's received. So that term, mulatto, the colloquial term, has been used to identify someone of mixed race. Right. And many people have found it offensive that she decided to use it as her alias. The thing to know is Mulatto has used that name for a long time now. Yep. Before that, it was when she was younger. Mm-hmm. She used it at, I think it was Miss Mulatto when she was younger. Yeah. And she appeared on that TV show with Jermaine Dupri at the time. So now a lot of people are actually mentioning that she should change her name because it's very offensive to a lot of people. So she said that she couldn't say too much right now because they're working on some things. But, you know, she said that she couldn't lie and say that it hasn't crossed her mind before. So we'll see if that name is about to be changed or not. She's also at the center of a big controversy recently on social media because there's rumors that she went on a new platform called Clubhouse, which is an audio-based platform on which she would have said that colorism doesn't exist. Again, a lot of people on social media are still looking for clips of her saying that, but people cannot find them. So again, accusations. She's actually denying the fact that she ever said that colorism doesn't exist. But obviously social media took it to a whole nother level. And Twitter is really pressuring her, Twitter is pressuring her when it comes to, you know, her changing her name and, you know, her comments. Especially when it comes to the fact that some people have said that in the comments that she wants to be black so bad, but she is half black, so she is black.
She is,
so
I think. Yeah, she is black. And like, see, these are one of those things in the black community, and I'd just like to say on your show, Agree to Disagree, you guys did talk about colorism this week and things of that nature. But the thing within the black community, those of us that are half white, half black, they're black too. We got to stop creating this divide, and these are one of the things we need to talk about at the summit. Now, I just want to say about the mulatto thing, If you're not mulatto and you use the word, and mulatto people are telling you this is offensive, you should respect them and not call them that, because you're calling them the word. So if people that are mixed feel offended by mulatto, I've stopped using it years ago because I had someone that was light skinned that was mixed and told me, listen, it's a little bit offensive. And I'm going to respect that. We live in a world now, okay, nobody wants to respect anybody now. Everybody just wants to trample anybody. I'm going to say what I want to say. It's my freedom of right. What happened to common courtesy? What's happened to common courtesy? No one cares no more.
No, common courtesy. I think it's she took that name as a, she made it when she, I remember that she explained at some point that she actually picked that name too. The same way the N-word was taken back by some black people, and that's how they explained it. She was saying that she took that word back because people were using
mixed,
that
right?
word. And yeah, she is.
So what didn't matter?
A mom is white and her dad is black.
She is mixed. If she was a dark-skinned person that wasn't mixed, using this verb, like, okay, but she is mulatto or she is mixed race, and she's taking back the power from it. So what's the problem?
I think people have issues with a lot of things nowadays, and I just feel like certain things it's a conversation. Do I agree with her use of the word? I'm not mixed, one, so I can't really.
But a lot of people do confuse you with being mixed.
Yeah, a lot of people do think I'm mixed because, I mean, yeah, it happened to me that I'm very light. It happens, especially with people from Caribbean descent. There is a lot of mix happening there.
You look like every girl in Caracou. Caracou's next to Grenada. And in Windward, they all look like you. And they're all black.
Yeah, I mean,
they're very, very light. Yeah.
You look at the Caribbean. There's a lot of people that look like me over there that are not.
No, you're beautiful, ma. Don't let them distract you.
Yeah, I'm not. But I'm just saying, I feel like she should see maybe with her management what would be the best decision, because she's starting her career, and I think it would be too bad to let something like that
hold her back.
Hold her back, definitely. Before I let you go, guys, I have a little quick story, because I think what this pandemic has provided us with is beautiful, 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 beautiful story. Okay, and I just feel like it needs to be shared.
You need your own.
World.
You need your own show. I'm thinking about it. We're gonna do Morning Detour after dark, or after the sunset. We're gonna do a show where Kay's just gonna read stories and I'm just gonna react to them, because this is amazing. A lot of people have written to me, have called me, say, "Yo, we love Kay's stories." And also they've said, "You guys, it seems like you guys have been doing this for like 20 years. You guys' chemistry." I say, "Yeah, now that I can see her, it's a little bit different." But Kay, how would you feel about that? I think you should do a little. We should do a little 30-minute show on a Thursday. And you just read a whole bunch of stories, 5-6 stories. And we get people to kind of jump on.
You know what? I'm down. Because people.
She has 101 shows now, guys. Stories. 101 shows now.
No, you don't understand. I always find either on Twitter or people just send me.
Is it hard
stuff
to find?
On Instagram.
Would it be hard for you to get 5-6 stories every week?
It's literally people that just send me stuff, or I see them on. There's this one account that has a lot of different stories.
Okay, so we'll look into that.
All right. So one story for today. Okay. This one was funny. This one was funny. Okay. So this is how it goes. I'm having a child with a woman who has no faith in the unseen. Mm. I've explained the secret to life is positive thinking. She keeps telling me to find a job, but I leave by faith, not work. Please note that not is written in capital letters. Okay. I created a vision board, and I know my God will provide. How to change her small mind. I want to know what she has to say to this, because
people always, even relationships, they're fighting over faith and religion. Okay, should we exclude faith and religion out of relationships now? Is that where we're going? Some things in life, like I get people have a scientific mind and they want things that are tangible. They want things that they could touch and see. But we have to understand, look at something so simple as love. Look at something so simple as attraction. You can't see it, you can't touch it, but you can feel it. Certain things in life are only going to be felt. Not everything is going to be tangibly touched. Mm-hmm. So with that said, I think love is a great example. I think he should use love as an example. And if she doesn't get it, this could trickle into other parts of the relationship, her being so small-minded. He might have to move on to the next. But I know moving on to the next will be kind of hard now with this COVID-19 going on. Yeah, a lot of people are stuck with the wrong partner, okay?
But listen to this. She keeps telling me to find a job, but I leave by faith, not work. Sir, how you gonna pay the bills?
No, you gotta stop. He gotta stop.
I am tired of these people trying to use every opportunity and every excuses to not work.
You know who I blame? I blame Netflix for putting girlfriends on Netflix because they watch 6 seasons of Lynn smooching off her friends. That's what's going on. So now everybody thinks this is good practice.
Girlfriend is one of the
best. Jones annoying me. I was up to 4 o'clock last night watching Jones.
One of the best
shows.
Really great. And I have a story for you. We're not gonna say it today. We're not gonna talk about it today because it's way too long, but I definitely want your opinion on it. We might have to do that.
We're gonna do quarantine stories live with Kay.
I just received the craziest stories every week.
We'll do it next Thursday. Catch us on the YouTube. We're gonna do a live. I marked it down in the notes. We're gonna do a live. Quarantine stories with Kay and Weezy, and we'll open it up so people can come in and join the videos as well.
At this point, do we call it quarantine? Because are we quarantined? Are we locked down? Are we not? We could go to the mall. I'm very confused. But anyway, guys, this was so Kay with the entertainment news, industry news, everything in Montreal this weekend that you can do to get out your house, news, and a few stories, obviously, as usual.
Well, listen, man, we have to go check out some of those Christmas installments downtown, and I'll definitely be checking out that Harry Potter. We're going to put all the links to all the things Kay mentioned up on our Detour 514 on our social media, and you can follow us on IG, Detour 514.
Yo, what's going on, people? It's YR, the one and only Mr. All Me Talks, All Me Looks. And right now, you're listening to the Morning Detour Show on CKUT Radio. You done that thing already, yeah?
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Good morning, Montreal. This is Soke on the Morning Detour. And this morning, I'm very happy to be with the very talented Chafrang from Montreal. Okay, from Montreal. I think it's important to say. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm not going to lie. I've been bumping to your EP for a little while.
Yes, you girl. Know? Tell me. Which one is your favorite song?
Stella's Heart is my favorite.
Yes.
Because, you know... Also, your sister has been sending me your music, so I'm like, I know. I love it. Very happy to have you on the show today. So, you know, I guess we can start with who are you? Because I think when we have artists in Montreal, you know, we like to know who they because it feels like it's close, you know, it's close to us, it's Montreal. So who are you? What's your story? Who is Chafrang?
Who is Chafrang? My God, Chafrang was Aisha, then Aisha Frank, now just Chafrang. R&B singer, songwriter, also wrote, you know, all of my songs on the EP. I say R&B, but I like, you know, it's just to put a label on it. But truthfully, there's like many different genres in the same project right there. Because I just don't believe that artists should be limited to, like, you know, just one type of music. Oh, this is what you do, right? It's like, no, I'm not just one, you know, one type of person. But yeah, so I don't know. That's like such a hard question. It's like, tell me about you.
It's not really tell me. It's really like you said, you changed multiple times of names over the course of, you know, I guess your career. So when I say who are you is, as an artist, I guess, how do you want to be presented to the world? What is the impression that you want to give to people?
Honestly, I just want people to feel like I'm giving a part of me on my music. When they listen to it, I just want them to feel like, you know, I'm right there in their ears singing to them. Having people feel good when they listen to my music and also enjoy it. You know,
I think they will enjoy it, and I think they have been enjoying it for the feedback that I've seen so far, you know.
Oh, definitely.
I know. Great. I love it. So
thank you.
Actually, you mentioned R&B because you said you wanted to, I guess, give it a genre or a name. That was one of the questions. Like you said, people like to categorize artists by, you know, genre of music. How would you describe your sound? Doesn't have to be just one thing. How would you describe it? What are the influences?
Influences, you know, it goes from Aaliyah, TLC to, like, you know, artists that we grew up with, you know, Whitney Houston. We're talking also, like, well, I grew up with, you know, Michael. There's a lot of also, you know, I'm Haitian, so there's a lot of that in there. There's an influence, whether it's in my voice, and then there's also, this, how do you call it again? It's Euro pop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like everything that's like Snap related or Black Box, or it's just like there's this thing that comes and get me. So I like to describe my music as, like, you know, not it's R&B, but it's like contemporary R&B. So you have you have different elements in there. That adds on top of what R&B is.
I think that's nice that you're not, you know, limiting to just one genre. I think I like artists that are able to, you know, like, kind of like take from different influences. I think the public likes that because we've seen that a lot recently.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think this is good. Actually, your project Solaris Story dropped recently.
Two weeks.
It's been on repeat on my rotation. We've actually played some songs on the Morning Detour, you know, because... You know, gotta push up our Montreal artists. So how long did you work on that project for? How long did it take you to complete
that? So It took a year, not just to record, but like, so to record the songs probably around like 6 months or so. And then, you know, to get the whole project going, to have like the visuals, to have like, you know, a concept, the branding and everything, you know, it actually took a whole year to.
A whole year.
Yeah.
That's a real nice project.
Thank you.
Like I said, favorite song, Stella's Heart. And the name, yep, is just stuck in my head. And the name of the project is Stellaria's Story. Who is Stella and what's Stellaria's Story?
Okay, so two things. So there's Stellaria's Story. Stellaria is Latin for the French word stellaire, which mm-hmm. is, you know, on your way to, on your journey or on the road towards the stars.
Okay.
And it's like basically like, it was based off the Cinderella story, you know, a story is a Cinderella story and Stella is me. Okay. So it's like, you know, when you take an artist or a human being that starts from point A all the way to point Z, where you have to be like, you know, who you want to become, to face who you truly are and not lie to yourself and just like, you know, embrace total person that you are,
yeah,
like the good, the bad, the ugly. It's just like, yo, this is who you are, just, you know, embrace it, stop trying to be someone that you're not. And when it comes to Stella is me. Stella is the woman in A Streetcar Named Desire, which is one of my favorite books, plays. It just had a whole impact on me when we read that in high school. So yeah, so Stella is me, but it's like a better version of who I used to be.
Nice. I like that explanation. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I know you had a Facebook Live recently.
Yes.
You had a whole performance.
Did you watch it?
I watched a part of it. I couldn't watch the whole thing. Hmm. I watched a part of it. How was the experience for you? How was it, you know, being that we're in the whole pandemic right now, yeah, how is it having to do this in such a weird environment with vibe? I would say
you have to be creative, and I feel like, you know, as artists we are doing a great job, even like medias, like you guys, no, you didn't stop because COVID, right? It's like we're you know, we'll find a new way to make it happen. And I think you know, for artists that are, especially artists that are beginning, like, yeah, like me, it's the greatest moment for you know, to launch your career, because like everybody is on the internet. Everybody's looking for something to do. So it's just like, you can't stop now. You have to take time for yourself, of course. I think 2020 is a year of growth and self, getting to know yourself. But when it comes to, you know, music, it was just like the perfect timing. It's stressful, but, you know, we're making it happen.
So I'm guessing you're really happy of how everything came together. And oh, how, yeah, you were able to, that's, I think, yeah, that's good. And like you said, I think people have been very creative when it comes to finding solutions to put mm-hmm. their art outside of their houses and outside of wherever, because everybody's just confined, but we are still putting content out on platforms.
You have to keep your brain occupied.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's very good. The Montreal scene is pretty good, you know. Especially these past, I feel like the pandemic has helped a lot of people, right, putting out their content. On the Montreal scene right now, who would you like to work with? Whether it's a producer, a singer, rapper, whoever, who would you like to collab with?
Montreal scene, I would love to collab with, I'm going to say it's Keitra. Patronata.
Yeah.
He just got nominated. I mean, for 2 Grammys. But I mean, it would be great.
Yeah. I think Keitra is that one person from Montreal where everybody's just like, yeah, and he's very talented. Before, definitely, I even moved here, I loved what he was doing with his music. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's a good choice. Maybe you need to, you know, make that happen.
Well, girl, I mean, why do you think I'm saying this? We're working on it.
I think it's good putting things in the universe.
You'll speak, you know, it into existence.
Exactly.
It's going to happen.
Exactly. One thing I wanted to talk about, so like you mentioned the Grammys, the Grammys apparently snubbed a lot of people this year. A lot of artists are not happy about
it. Keyword is apparently.
Yes, exactly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So a lot of artists are not happy with the nominations or the people that were announced for nominations. Mm-hmm. And one of that person was Sienna Taylor, who made a comment when it came to the R&B album category, mm-hmm. in which there was no women R&B singer in that category. She was saying that there's a lack of representation of women in that specific category, when you know that 2020 has been a year where it's pretty much has been filled with women R&B. So how do you feel about that?
You know, I feel like at my level, how can I say this? It's like, when you think about how hard they've worked this year, like Teyana Taylor, we're talking her, we're talking, Summer Walker.
Summer Walker, yes. Summer Walker, for sure.
So it's just like, I feel like it's really weird. It's like, you just have to question yourself, you know, what's happening? Like, what happened? Was there like a glitch? Was like, I don't even know what to say. It's like, it feels so weird. And it's just like, it's scary at the same time. Cause like, when you see that and they're at their level and you're like, I'm just getting started. And you know how like, you know, the Grammys has like this prestige, and it's just like, you know, once you get into that Grammy club, it's like, you know, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, having Keitra being nominated as well, it's just like, it's such a huge accomplishment. So to not have these artists, these great artists being represented, to me, it's scary, because it's like, when I get to that level, and I mean, we're not doing what we're doing to be to get that Grammy or to get an award, you know, that's not what we're, you know, what we're doing music for, but it's fun to be recognized and to be highly recognized to that level. So to what I can say, it's scary to me, because I'm like, it's not about my talent now. It's not about, you know, how, you know, great my year has been. Like, what does it take? So that's like where my mind is at right now.
Now, I definitely see what you're saying. I feel like the conversation over the past, few years over award ceremonies, mm-hmm. as a whole, a lot of people are questioning if we should give award ceremonies that much energy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is it really worth it? Is it that important? Do you feel like awards should still hold that specific place that we give them, when we've seen, whether it's music or movies, mm-hmm. or like this, that it's not necessarily representative of what the public is saying?
I feel like it's a dual feeling, because we grew up on having that, like, on having this like drilled into our minds, like, this is the highest accomplishment, you know, having your Oscar, having, you know, being the first Black woman, let's say Halle Berry having her Oscar, being, you know, winning 8 Grammys like Lizzo did last year, or 9 Grammys like Lauryn Hill did, you know, with the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. So it's just like, I feel like for us, for our generation, like, you know, the way we grew up was like, oh my God, the Grammys, oh my God, the Oscars, absolutely. Oh my God, you know, she won, oh my God. So it's just like, I feel like there's a switch happening, because there's so many great talents out there. And truth is, not everyone is going to be recognized. Not everyone is going to be, you know, compensated rewarded, sorry, for their work. But at the same time, it's just like, we need to stress. It's like, stop searching for that validation. But at the same time, you know, it's like, Mom, I want a Grammy.
It's like, I want to be, right? You're right.
So it's just like, recognized. I feel like it's like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I definitely
see. It's hard to say.
What you're saying. Yeah. They do have that prestige that we've known about, and it's just very, mm-hmm. I guess it's very hard to like stay away from that. Mm-hmm. Last question is the morning detour question. The morning detour question. Okay. So just let me give it a little bit of context. Okay. The earth is dying.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. I know every time. So okay. the earth is dying. We know that, I guess, the earth is overpopulated. Elon Musk is out here actively with his team working on projects to actually send humans on Mars, to establish a human colony on Mars by 2050. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is actually happening. It's not like a movie or anything.
Yeah. I know, it's just the way you started your question.
I know.
It's like so hard. I'm like, whoa, this is the morning detour? Okay.
Yes.
Let me pay attention.
So pretty much, So pretty much this is the context. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're saying at the Morning Detour is, you know what? We're going to go to Mars. We're going to take a whole part of Mars. We're going to call it Marfrica. Some, I think it was Steve Daniels that came on the show once and it was like, you know what? We're going to call it Marfrica. That's our own continent on Mars for Black people and all minorities, you know, for people to be. Everything is going to be out there. Beautiful people.
Yes.
You know, going to Mars takes a lot of time. So Weezy was saying, you know, we'll set up a rest stop in between because, you know, it's a long time. So you go to the rest stop.
Do you know how long it is?
I think, is it 2 weeks? No, more than 2 weeks. I have to check, actually. I think we need to fact check this. I don't remember exactly. But pretty much there's a rest stop. You get to the rest stop. There's Caribbean and African food, everything you want. There's the music that you want in the shuttle that is going to Mars. You know, everything is good. Now the question is, are you a part of the people that choose to come to Mars with us, or are you a part of the people that want to take their chances and stay on Earth?
Oh, shit. You know what? I'm all about getting out of your comfort zone, so I'm going to go to Mars.
Okay.
I'm not even going to think this through. I'm like, get me out of my comfort zone.
I like this answer. A lot of people said no. A lot of people wanted to stay on Earth, and I'm like, just explore. Just explore.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, a lot of people want to take their chances on Earth. And I'm like, you don't want to go see what's on Mars? Like,
exactly,
I want to see.
Because as human beings, we're so curious. Like, our curiosity, like, I would have thought, like, most people would have, you know, answered Mars, go to Mars.
Yeah, no. No, it's not a lot of us.
What about you? I mean, I'm guessing you.
I'm going. Okay. No, I'm going.
We're going. We're
definitely
going.
Yes.
You, me, and my sister, we're going.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Definitely going. Definitely. Yo. Again, thank you. Thank you so, so much for being with us on the show. If you could plug your social media, tell where people should follow you, what music they should listen to, what they can expect from you in the future. You know, we want to know everything.
So let me tell you everything. So you can follow me at Shaw Frank, Facebook, Instagram, or Instagram, but like Facebook is still out there. Don't have a Twitter account yet because I'm still trying to figure my life around everything that's happening right now. Oh, that's my dad. Papi. Well, that ends the interview well. So, and yeah, stream my music on Spotify, iTunes, you know, all the streaming platforms. If you can tell me which one is your favorite, I know yours is Stella's Heart. But, yep. You know, let me know. You guys don't hesitate. I answer to my DMs as much as I can. So hit me up. Tell me, yo, this track is fire. This track, blah, blah. So yeah, Shaw Frank, at Shaw Frank.
Okay, well, everybody, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you, Shafrik, again.
Thank you for having me.
For the interview, and we'll post everything on our social media. This was Soke on the Morning Detour on CKAT 90.3 FM. Give me your heart. Hey, hey, hey. I love you. I spy with my third eye. I love you from my rooted chakra. My plexus feels like a Lexus when I see you. Wanna come through, baby, drop through. I spy with my third eye and my root. I love you, we're connected from the root. Sweet pea in the sun, you're my iced tea, you're my favorite drink. You're so icy, and I want me some you. Sweet pea in the winter, you're my hot tea, you're my favorite drink. Use a hot tea, and I want me some me. Give me your heart, give me your heart. You got me feeling for you got me feeling for you. Give me your heart, give me your heart. There's a million ways I wanna show you how much I love you. I'm your best friend, you're my best friend. No, we ain't friends, yeah, we best friends. And the juicy was up. Best friend, go best friend.
And I want me some you. Sweet pea in the winter, you're my hot tea, you're my favorite drink. Use a hot tea, and I want me some me.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yes, Montreal, my city. Welcome back to The Morning Detour. What a morning show, boy. The interviews, the energy. K got a new look, a new attitude. We also have Lorena on now. It's time for our community updates. Lorena, what's going on in the community? I can't wait for you to do intros. As hype as me, we'll get that going in the new year. Lorena's will come in screaming, hey, it's Lorena, it's the Crown Project. My hair is gold.
Oh, my hair is not gold, but I got to practice it. But I'm going to have it together in the new year. 2021, I'm going to get it together. But yeah, community. So first we have WIPCA. They're having their annual general meeting for 2020 on Friday, December 11th at 6:30 p.m. on Zoom. So you can go ahead on their Instagram page. They'll have the meeting ID for Zoom as well as the passcode, and if you need any, if you have any questions, need more information, you can go ahead and email admin@wibca.org.
Perfect.
Then also what we have, Weezy, you talked about this, is the from the Collective Community Services, the Father Discussion Group.
Yeah.
So I just want to remind everybody, for the fathers out there, they're having a virtual discussion group talking about the realities of fatherhood. So that's happening virtually Monday, December 7th. So if you want to register for that, or if you need more information, you could contact Deborah Radcliffe Branch at 514-503-1552 or email Deborah@ccs-montreal.org.
Also, Lorena, I'd like to add that they did send me the Zoom link and the Converso. Perfect. I'll put down the Detour 514 on our Facebook. So if for those fathers and also mothers too, and we spoke about it, for mothers that want to see what are some of the experiences, what some of the things that fathers are feeling, I'll be taking the Zoom in too. I'm not a father yet, guys, but apparently I'm on the clock. So I'm trying to get some tidbits about that. He's going to be on Running Wolves as well. So we'll put the link for the Zoom link and has a Skype. All the links will be up there on the Detour 514 page on Facebook.
Perfect. And then another thing, it's a bit different, but it's pretty cool. So we have something here in Montreal called the Rolling Pop-Up. So their last pop-up is on December 6th. So what it is, it's Canada's first mobile plant store. So if you're looking to be a plant mom or a plant dad, you can check out their IG page at The Rolling Pop-Up, and you can see what they have in stock, the different plants they have. You can DM them to reserve your spot, and they will roll up, and you can go shopping from their van, and they also have a chef on site that has food for sale.
Are you guys good with plants? Because in every room in this household here, there's dead leaves. There's leaves in the living room. We have there's a love fern in the bathroom. I guess it's loveless because the leaves keep dying. What does it say about a woman that can't keep plants? Kay, your mic is muted.
It has nothing to do with a woman that cannot keep plants. It has to do with, is the plant a plant that you're supposed to have inside? Is it getting enough sun? And is the heat on? Because sometimes, because it's next to the heater, it dies. And it happened to one of my plants, and so now I have one left, and I'm like, please don't die.
I only have one plant. I have an aloe plant that is pretty easy to take care of. But you got to know about the plant. Like, does it have to be indoor, outdoor? Does it have to get direct sunlight?
Right.
Does it not have to get direct sunlight? Do you have to water it often? Are you watering it too much? So the good thing about the Rolling Pop-Up, though, is that they will teach you how to care for your plant, which is really cool as well.
Well, you know what? I'm going to sign my girl up for that because... Could you put the link on the Facebook? Plants are dying out here. Lorena, tell Kay about growing up, how my mom's living room was like a forest growing up.
Yeah, it was like the jungle. Like, you walked in, and it was just, like, plant galore everywhere.
She's
like,
going to kill crazy. Me listening to this.
Well, listen, first of all, you lived in a very nice and warm house. That's what I could say, you know? So, plants are great. It's great for your mood. It's like, and it's alive, you know? It's like a little...
It's a living thing.
Yeah.
Providing oxygen.
Exactly.
So next up, what we have is from SoGal Montreal. So I talked about them a few weeks back because they were having a series called Beyond BLM. Mm-hmm. So on December 10th, they will be having their last event for the series. The event will focus on actionable steps for change, and we'll have guest speaker Dr. Dorothy Williams. So again, their events are free, but they do take donations. And for this event specifically, all the donations will go towards the ABCs of Canadian Black History Toolkit. So as I mentioned before, Dr. Williams is raising money for her toolkit. So if you do want to just go ahead and donate to them directly, you can go to their GoFundMe page. I'll post that again on our social media, and you can make a donation. If you do want to sign up for the event, again, it's free. You could just go to eventbrite.com and then put in the search SoGal. But I'll look for the flyer, and I'll post that one as well for everybody. And next up, we have the Canadian Black Chamber. So what they're putting together is a mastermind group to help entrepreneurs build their businesses. So this will take place December 4th, 11th, and 18th from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
Boom.
So you could sign up at blackchamber.ca.
Listen, man, positive things, man. You know, at least someone's doing something for our community.
There's a lot going on for our community. You just have to look and find those events that are happening. Even MTL Market, so for the next 3 weekends, starting on December 5th and 6th, they are having their Black Business Holiday Market. So if you're a business, if you're a business and you're looking to make some extra sales for Christmas, or if you need to buy some items for Christmas, they are having a pop-up shop, both virtually and in person. So you could send them an email at mtlmarket@gmail.com for more information on that.
Okay, so
See, it's good, and good opportunities to support, you know, the local stores and local entrepreneurs.
Not just
Amazon, you know.
Yeah, because ain't none come through Amazon and FedEx. Ain't none come through Amazon. Like, all the gifts is local. I already got my one gift already. Now I'm gonna make a card myself. I'm gonna do a little arts and craft. I'm gonna go make a card so it's personable. No, okay, don't do that face. It ain't gonna be deep. Like, that was never good in arts and craft.
If it's not deep, then what is it?
Huh? Yeah, because I mean, you're making it. That's deep.
Yeah.
No, making it's not deep.
Yeah, no, it's deep.
I'm put a little color, put a little tinsel.
So, do you want to just print a Grinch face and just stick it on there?
Yeah, I'm probably gonna put a Grinch on it. I like Grinch. Okay. Okay, why is Lorena doing a face like that?
Because it's deep.
Because it's not the way that you're putting it. It sounds like you're just gonna do whatever to say that you made a card. Like, you're not putting any thought into it.
No,
like,
I care about the card. I put some thought into the color of the card and the colors I'm gonna use. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. We have Afua Cooper in conversation with Brandon Wint. So Afua Cooper is a Black author, poet, Canadian historian, and the 2020 Portia White Award winner. So she'll be in conversation with another Canadian poet and author, Brandon Witt, and they will be speaking on topics surrounding her latest book, Black Matters. So this is another free event that's happening on December 9th at 5 p.m. So you could sign up to this as well at Eventbrite as well. You just type in Afua Cooper and you will see that there. She has a lot of great books as well that you could find on Amazon or Indigo that talks about Black Canadian history. And then I'm actually going to take you guys outside of Montreal for 2 seconds. We have the Wynwood Mural Festival. So, you know, Art Basel, Wynwood, Miami, it's a big deal. Unfortunately, borders are closed, right? So we can't really get there, but you can get there virtually. So if you've never been before, this is your chance. So this is the second edition of the Wynwood Mural Festival. So they're going to be having events in person as well as virtually. So there's art tours, live murals being painted, panel discussions, workshops. So you can go to windwardmuralfest.com and they have everything that's there. You just click on it and you'll get to travel to the different places and see what's going on in real time. And then all of the art exhibitions, you can go and check out those things at different times as well. So I thought that was pretty cool. If you haven't been able to go, this is your chance. And yeah, it's free as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, I listen, like that.
Y'all have been very informative this Friday morning. So much things to do. You don't have to be locked down to your house. You know what I mean? I'm almost done girlfriend, so I'm really excited. So, Larina, thank you for that. And also, too, make sure you guys tune into all the DJs on Twitch. DJ Maddie has now joined the Twitch family as well. He's DJing for 8 to 11 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I heard his jam yesterday. It was amazing. And also, we have J.E. Buns. Listen, Roots and Milo on Sunday.
Yes, J.E. Buns, Quite Sane, DJ Blaster, Star Q is on there.
DJ Bobby Payne. So, you know, tune into that. Good vibes, man. Good vibes. Well, thank you for that, Larina.
I have to mention the Crown Project. We're still taking donations. Don't forget about me, please.
You need to lead off with the Crown Project.
Well, I wanted to end with the Crown Project. We're still taking donations. There's three ways that you could donate. You can go buy stuff physically in store, drop it off to Fusion Fitness Kitchen at 9510 Rue Clermont and LaSalle, order items online, send it to DG Kicks, which is at 6714 Fielding, or go to thecrownproject.net and you can send us a monetary donation through PayPal and I will go and shop for you.
Okay, Crown Project doing big things. Larina Goldie, it's the morning detour, the mighty CKT 90.3 FM.
The business. Stop standing in your own way. Yeah, I'm your bridge over trouble. The road you're taking only leads you to pain. Oh, sometimes it's hard to see just how simple it is until you love somebody like one, two, three. Trust me, you haven't lived until you love.
Yes, Montreal, my city, another Friday. We got a little snow the other day, so here we are with the madness. Now, I know a lot of y'all under the pandemic, under the lockdown, you guys got a little bit loving going on. I know you got a little closer to your partner. I am expecting a lot of babies in February. Now, with that said, my partner, her sister just had a baby, so there's a lot of baby talk in my household. So I started thinking to myself, man, you know, Weezy, you might have to push your legacy a little further. And then I read this beautiful article. CBC just published an article by Paul Samar, and he was talking about how online support groups for men help them get through this difficult, dark time. Because a lot of people aren't talking about the fathers that are losing their jobs, can't feed their kids. How are you going to support your family as a man? The machismo, the ego within you. You feel a little way, you go to a darker place. I know a lot of people is hurting. But I want to bring some attention to some fathers this Friday. So I'm going to bring on, I call him the super dad. You know what I mean? They don't make him like that. I mean, he is known as the baby whisperer. You may know him as Mr. Mardo Shea, Myrtilus, but a lot of people close to him call him Mardo. But we'll call him the king of fathers right now. Super dad in the building. What's going on, Mardo?
Good, good, good. Thank you for having me.
Listen, listen, it's my pleasure, man. I didn't know you were out here saving lives, brother.
So let me be humble. Saving life is a little bit big, but, you know, I do what I can, you know, for the fathers out there.
But, you know, listen, mental health's important, and, you know, you're helping fathers understanding fatherhood a little bit. You've done prenatal classes, which I think is amazing to think of a black brother championing, spearheading a prenatal class. And we're going to talk about it on the Running with Wolf podcast. So if you all know more about that, my Running with Wolf podcast next Monday, we'll have that. But Mardo, on Monday, December 7th, that's at 7 p.m. on Zoom, you're going to have a father's talk. It's the realities of fatherhood. So before we get into all that, just give people a brief background on yourself. You're not just some guy I took off the street and he likes kids and he likes helping fathers. You do have a professional background in this field. Just give us a little bit of insight.
Okay, so but like you said, my name is Mardo, but my actually government name is Mardochim Hertilus. And right now I work for Le Regroupement pour la Valorisation de la Paternité, which is a national regroupment in Quebec that's been existing over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. I've been with them for the last 2 years. And my position at this regroupment, I'm actually the trainer and the liaison agent.
Look at you! That's what's up.
Yeah, so what I do is that I take care of this program named Le Programme Papa. I'm going to say it in French, but c'est le programme d'adaptation des pratiques aux réalités paternelles. Mm-hmm. So to be more specific on what exactly I do with this program is that any organization, nonprofit, any institution that would love to include dads more in their services, they give us a call and we offer them training to how to include the dads in their services. So we have different training on like how to include immigrant dads, how to work with dads that are dealing with situation of rupture, so that actually are in a breakup situation. We also have everything that has to do with prenatal. Mm. So this is basically, we don't call ourselves the specialists of paternity, but what we do is that since I have the opportunity to travel around Quebec to different places and to see what's going on and what's offering to dads out there, I'm able to, like, when I meet in a different organization, to tell them, it depends on the clientele that you guys are focusing on. You guys should try this, or maybe you guys should try that. So, yeah, this is what I do. But like you mentioned, I have a lot of more experience. I created a program about maybe 9 years ago called Father at Heart. So the goal of the program was really just to get a bunch of dads together to kind of understand what were their needs and to see how the community, we could put together something to help them out. And what we came out by doing is that we started doing activities dad and kids, because when you're having a baby, you start realizing there's a lot online that you could do as a family or activity for mom and kids. But when it comes to dad and kids, it's really limited.
Yeah, yeah. No love for the fathers. No, Mardo, why in your opinion, why do you think there isn't so much resources or attention given on fathers? I know mothers. I know all the mothers listening is going to come. I know mothers. I know you guys carry the heavy end of the load. You have to have the baby. You conceive the baby. The milk comes from you. I hear that. But fathers do play a role as well. There's no baby without the dad as well. So why do you think essentially there aren't that many resources directed or focused on fathers?
I think the more we look at it these days, it's getting bigger and bigger as a subject. So more organization, more institution are starting to have like their eyes on dads, because more and more, and if you look at the statistics when it comes to the justice system, more and more dads have their kids full time.
Yeah, custody. We're winning lately. It wasn't that way about 15 years ago. The last 8 years has been kind of like a shift, especially in Quebec. Fathers really wanted to be in their kids' life. They really wanted custody. So I love that you mentioned that.
Yeah. And I would say it's because when you look at, like, a lot of time people, they want to start pointing fingers at other countries. They'll be like, yeah, but in this country, it's really the mother that takes care of the child. Mm-hmm. The dad, is not really involved. But if you look in Quebec City and you go back maybe 50 years ago, the dad used to have a position of a provider.
Yeah.
So the dad, his main role, it was not written on paper or anything, but everybody knew that.
The patriarch.
The main role was like, let me go work, let me make sure there's a roof over the family, make sure that the money's coming in, and mommy would stay home with the baby. So that's why we live in a society that spends so much time focusing on the mother, the needs of the mom, and not really the needs of the dad. But let's not forget, and I'm not going to go in it in too much detail, but like you mentioned it, there's still a dad in that child's life. And dads have emotion too. Yeah, we go through through that pregnancy together. It's just, yes, we don't carry the baby, but we have feelings. So we do, like, we're scared. We don't know what to expect, but nobody's talking to us because the message that they're telling us is that you should be there to support mom, to make sure mom doesn't stress.
And that's it. And that's it. But nothing about you. It's always about you in relation to the mother, but nothing about you personally. Listen, boy, much y'all might see, if you're now joining us, I'm with Mr. Mardo Shea Mertelis. He's a liaison agent and instructor for the PAPA project under the Regroupement pour la Valorisation de la Paternité. Beautiful things on Monday, December 7th. You're going to be doing a Realities of Fatherhood, a Father's Talk. Tell us a little bit about that. And are you, this is not one of your first talks with men. Have you seen men being more open to going to support groups? Because, you know, black men looking, searching for extra support, going to psychiatry, dealing with mental health. Are fathers a little bit different? Are they more open to attending a support group that's curated just for them? And speak to us a little bit about your Realities of Fatherhood talk on Monday as well.
So to talk a little bit about CCS, that's Collective Community Services, I've been working with them for over a year. They wanted to include dads in their services. So we try a few things. And right now we're doing those focus groups where we invite dads. And the goal is to promote it in a way that, like, you know what? This organization works for the community and the English community, the speaking community. So they want to know what are the needs of those dads. Because like I keep saying over and over to different organizations, there's no point on starting new activities for dads if it's not responding to their needs.
Yeah.
Because maybe you're in an area that's like, I'll take an example, most of the dads are looking for jobs and you're out there offering them activities to play with their kids. But their priority is like, how am I going to get money to make my family survive? So the goal of those webinar or those meetings,
talks, or support talks, groups,
Are really to just, first of all, be open to the dads. To be like, you know what? I don't know your situation, but can you please give us something for us to be able to help you? Mm-hmm. So, and what we mean by that with nice and being humble and without saying you have an issue, is just to say, what are the activities? What are the topics that you would feel interested? Because since the pandemic started, let's be real, most people are at home and more people are online, or they're doing their shows online and they're looking for information online. So what are the topics that you would love to hear that you would be interested? And once we get that, we're giving the society and the community of CCS a vision that, oh, you know what? CCS is not just an organization that works with families and moms. Because the word family means moms for a lot of dads.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? So we want to make sure that, like, you know, the dads out there, they understand that, you know what? Maybe now I'm okay. But you never know. Maybe in a year, I'll be going through some rough stuff. And I don't know where to get that help. But by opening those discussions, they'll be like, maybe I could call CCS. They could guide me. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest goal. So our goal now is not really to have dad and to start talking about their issues. No, it's just to get a bunch of men that have kids together and to, first of all, realize that, you know what, we're all in this together. I might be living something at home and you're living something differently, but at the end of the day, we're all trying to raise our kids the best as possible in this society. So I think, so that's the goal for this topic that we're going to have on Monday. So I invite anybody that would love to come in and to just give their point of view also. Feel free. And it's an hour and a half, 2 hours, and good time.
No, listen, I don't have no kids yet, but I'm going to join in. We're going to put the links up for the Realities of Fatherhood Talk with Mr. Mardo. That's happening on Monday, December 7th at 7 p.m. on Zoom. The link will be up there on our social media, Detour 514, the Morning Detour. But listen, Mardo, I can't let you go before I talk about one of the most amazing things about you. You actually do these prenatal classes just for dads. Can you just give us a taste about that? So you know, I got to plug all of your assets because I don't have a kid yet, but I've been told in my household I got 2 years. I've been told this. I've been told there's a cutoff point. She's 33 now. She said 35. I need to have something. I'm really scared. I'm gonna be really honest with you. I'm scared because I'm scared. And, you know, this is a conversation we're gonna go deeper in on the Running with Wolf podcast next week. I'm scared because I feel as a man, most men, you know, we grow up with this patriarchal mind frame or blueprint, right? Where it's our job to provide. And I feel chasing my radio dream and my broadcasting dream and doing this thing and being a father, I don't see how I can serve both masters. And I feel that because I don't feel I'm where I want to be professionally and monetarily, I feel kind of inadequate to have a child. I feel really nervous about that. I feel really, I'm going to be on, I shouldn't be sharing it on a morning show about 20,000 listeners on a Friday morning, but I want people to understand, like, we're 1,000% honest. I'm scared, man, but I know it's coming. I'm on the clock, Mardo. I'm scared.
And you know what? What you mentioned is, it's actually really normal. And first of all, a lot of men, actually most of the men, if I could use my own stats in my head, would be 98%. Of men are scared before they have a kid. And yes, I did create the prenatal classes. It was to respond to a need, but also it's because I realized in the society that we're living, there's a big lack when it comes to the father's implication in the child's life. But that lack comes also from the message that we're sending to dads. We're sending them a message that you have to be there as a supporter. Yeah. So we're telling them, you know what? I know you care. I know you want to be involved, but make sure mom is fine. So all the feelings that you have, put that on side, and one day we'll deal with that. But that's not the right way to deal about it.
Right.
And to answer your question and to answer maybe your fear that you're living, everything is in communication. You know what? Me too. Before I started having kids, you know, I'm in different projects, but I had talks with my wife, you know, about like, you know what, I want to keep doing this, but I know if we're having a kid, maybe, you know, that's going to come in a way. And so it's to make compromise, you know, to see, okay, so what, not asking permission, but just to have this discussion on like, where do we see ourselves and how are we taking of a couple to manage this in the future? And this is something also that they don't promote enough to future parents. They don't explain to parents that, you know what, I'll give you one little simple.
Nah, yo, talk, man. I'm learning. Yeah. I'm starting to feel better already. Talk your thing, man. We here's the morning, Dito. Mardo in the building.
Because I like to say, what is the biggest challenge for new parents? And a lot of people will be, stress, don't know how to handle things. No, that's not the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge is that you were raised one way, mom was raised another way, and you guys are trying to raise the baby together. That is the biggest challenge for all new parents. And we don't teach people how to communicate those challenges. And what happens is that people wait until they have the baby and then they start communicating because they're freaking out.
Yeah.
So sometimes the words are coming out wrong. And this is why we say that in the first 2 years sometimes of a baby's life, you know, that's where it's really important to work on your couple. Because for the longest time, she was your first priority, you were her first priority. Now the baby becomes both parents' first priority.
Yeah.
And that's, if it was not a discussion that you guys already had to start preparing yourself, that could clash.
Yes.
So this is like a little bit, you know, I'm giving you a little bit on like what I teach, you know?
A little taste. Now, if you're a father out there, also too, it's open to mothers too. If mothers want to come listen, see what kind of things the fathers are, you know, have on their heart. There's the Father's Live Chat. It'll be on Zoom Monday, December 7th at 7 p.m. I'm going to put up the link up there on our social media. I've been speaking with Mr. Mardo Shea Mertelis. He's the liaison agent and instructor for the Papa Project. I love the fact you're the guy for the Papa Project. I feel we're in good hands. And under the Regroupement pour la Valorisation de la Paternité, beautiful things. The goal is to recognize the challenges fathers face. The CCS acknowledges the importance of supporting modern dads. Listen, I love that. I love that. Yeah. So if you're a father, if you're looking to have kids, we're all going to have kids at some point, hopefully all of us. This is a beautiful conversation curated for dads, by dads. Mardo, what you're doing is amazing, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it. I think it was like it was needed.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one in this battle. You know, there's people before me.
And it's free. Sorry. And it's free. I forgot to mention that. It is free. It's free and it's in English. So it's free and it's in English.
And it's in English. And I think, and even for the regroupement, it's a big step because for the longest time, I said the regroupement has been existing over the last 20 years. We've been focusing a lot on the French community.
Yeah.
But since about 2 years ago, we started this partnership with CHSSN. That's now a main focus for us to be like, you know what? Dads in the English community, they have needs and their needs are not the same as the French community. So how can we like help them? How can we provide the organization with the right tools, you know, to be able to equip those dads? So this is my mission for the next few years, basically.
Ooh, boy. No, I like that. You know, I like that. You know, I was speaking to our connect, Deborah, and I told Deborah, I have a group of young fathers that just had kids, that are about to have kids, and they will love, we will love to create a group with you and meet with you every so often and you know, have these conversations. I think it's a really dope initiative, and it's needed. This yep. resource is needed. You're doing God's work, serving him. You know what I mean? You're living your personal legend. Montreal, if you love the conversation, if you're a father, even if you're a mother as well, we're doing the Father's Talk, Father's Live Chat, The Realities of Fatherhood, hosted by Mr. Mardo Shea Mertelis. Beautiful things. Oh, man. It's at 7 p.m. on Monday. It's free, and it's in English. I'll put up the links up there. Sir, I'll see you again Monday. You on Running With Wolves? Make sure you see on all
streams. In the fight against COVID-19, we must all continue to respect public health guidelines and follow self-isolation instructions. Self-isolate if you have symptoms. Self-isolate after testing. Self-isolate if the test is positive. Self-isolate when you return from a trip. And self-isolate when you've been in contact with someone who's tested positive. Self-isolation is important. Please, take it seriously. Learn more at quebec.ca/self-isolating. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
CKUT Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
D'aide, vous êtes là. Quand vos enfants ont des craintes, vous êtes là. Quand vos amis vivent un moment difficile, vous êtes là. Soyez là pour vous, comme vous l'êtes pour vos proches. C'est possible que la situation actuelle vous fasse ressentir des émotions difficiles ou même de la détresse. Si vous éprouvez de la difficulté à réaliser les actions du quotidien, des solutions existent. Rendez-vous sur québec.ca/allez-mieux ou appelez Info Social 811. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
CKUT, Henry Grimes. And stay tuned for more of the most aesthetic things, feelings in the world.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Good morning and welcome. This is Jazzamuck.